In the name of one God who creates, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. The last time we heard this story of Lazarus, this story of loss and grief, this story of the offer of new life in Jesus, the last time we read this was 3 years ago. And as I thought about life and death expressed in this gospel, I wanted to look back and see exactly where we were on March 29th, 2020. And lest you think I'm biased, I looked at both the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. The pandemic was escalating. Headlines spoke of bans on gathering, governors demanding more protective gear for their hospitals and EMTs. There was discussion of travel restrictions. At home, here at St. Cross, we were in our third week of church online, still figuring out how to do it on our end and how to find us on your end. And I looked back, something I very rarely do, but I looked back to see if I had preached this gospel the last time we read the story, and apparently I did. And here was the start of that sermon. Compline continues. The phone tree is in place. We continue to work to be God's people. While recommended people 65 and older stay home, the rest of us struggle to make this work. No one wants this much quality time with their family, no matter how much we love them. And no one wants this much time alone as a single person, even when you're an introvert. The government has shut down the beaches, and here in the South Bay, there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. In that moment, just 3 weeks into the pandemic for us, our grief was very much like that of Mary and Martha. Our grief was in that very early beginning stage. There was so much we didn't know. When, if, where, how this pandemic might come for us or for the ones we loved. And yet, in the subsequent 3 years, as vaccines have alleviated many fears, and we're working on living with what is now an endemic rather than a pandemic, our grief has moved from that fresh few moments into what I call a collective familiar grief. It's a collective grief of school missed, weddings and funerals postponed, graduation parties canceled, goodbyes and important announcements being told on FaceTime. The list of losses of this time period go on, and our grief throughout this 3 years persists. It is still with us. And it's evidenced in many places, but in the place where I notice it more is in the rise of mental illness with youth and adults, which has skyrocketed the past 3 years. Because our grief changes us. And hopefully, as we walk through this grief journey together, we are learning that grief cannot be passive. You cannot stuff grief into a dark corner or put it on a back burner or say, I'll deal with you later. That only makes it so much worse. This gospel that we hear today deals so humanly with what it means to grieve. How we express ourselves when those who we love have died. Martha and Mary, both in their conversation with Jesus, angry and disappointed, and their hearts ripped asunder by the loss from the death of their brother. If only Jesus had shown up to heal him, because he healed everybody else. And yet, in this death of his friend, Jesus also experiences the human depth of grief. He weeps after he talks to Mary and Martha. The loss that we feel when a loved one dies is just as visceral and profound. And to be honest, it does not heal quickly, if ever. I recently told a parishioner that I have my own Lent rule, that others may find a little loosey-goosey. And it is this, that if you have an immediate family member or beloved person in your life die during Lent, that is Lent enough. And whatever discipline you took on or thing that you gave up is completely pointless and secondary to doing what you need to do to attend to your grief. And I think that many of us experienced this rule as we went into lockdown 3 years ago in the middle of Lent. All of those things that we were going to do to draw us closer to God suddenly went out the window. And literally, it was God and us. The reason that this rule works in my world is because in my grief, I turn to God. In my grief, my faith comes into a sharper focus. My conversations with God take on a different tone, not always polite. And yet, in grief, our faith is deepened. Deepened more than any Lenten discipline could probably do for us. And yet, our passage today, it is not just about grief. It's actually about grief and about life. Not resurrection per se, but really the life that we are given when we follow Jesus. As much as death and grief walk hand in hand, so do grief and life. In our faith, grief and life are intertwined. So while Jesus did not come down and take away the coronavirus, no matter how hard we prayed, while Jesus no longer walks the earth and can show up at our house to raise our beloveds from the dead, Jesus does continue to offer us life. Life in the midst of our grief. And how do we know this? Well, do you know what happens to Lazarus next? Most of us don't, because our liturgical readings never get that far. Lazarus, you see, he doesn't rise from the dead and return immediately to his job because he's very important and needed. Lazarus doesn't suddenly set off on a journey to tick off all the items on his bucket list now that he's been given this second chance. No. What Scripture tells us is in the next chapter, we find Lazarus at Jesus' side. Lazarus reclining, sharing a meal with Jesus in the flesh. Not because Lazarus was thankful to Jesus, but because Lazarus understood that Jesus is life. Jesus is life writ large, and following Jesus is life-giving, and it is life-changing. In the midst of our personal grief and in the midst of our communal grief, Jesus continues to offer us life. Jesus says, and Martha reiterates, that Jesus is the resurrection and that on the last day he will raise us up. But what is more important is Jesus says he is resurrection and he is life. Jesus is life right now. Jesus offers us life each and every day. Jesus offers us life in our darkest, worst moments and hours. And Jesus offers us life in those most joyous moments. There is no Jesus if you had only been here, because Jesus is here with us right now. But here's the thing about living in the here and now. It is never devoid of the past. As we head into Holy Week next Sunday, it is important, or perhaps a good touchstone, for us to remember where we were spiritually and emotionally 3 years ago when we last heard the story of Jesus standing at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. We remember the chaos, the fear, the isolation, the total unsettling nature of being cut off from one another. So many micro deaths in the context of this unfathomable global death tally that came in every day. Jesus once said, "The poor will be always with you," but in this story, it feels as if Jesus is saying through his own tears and his compassion, death will always be with you. It will always be a part of your life. But equally, Jesus is saying, but just as surely, resurrection and life will abide with you always. Through our ongoing experience of the past 3 years living in COVID times, we actually have a much deeper understanding of this gospel story. In the midst of death, in the midst of our grief, there is new life. There is resurrection. And we know there is new life because, look, we are all sitting here in our pews, aren't we? Our lives have changed, not ended. The pain, the suffering, and grief from the losses that we have sustained communally or personally when a loved one has died, or as we face our own mortality, these are not lessened by the promise of resurrection. No. Our tears and our grief are just like the tears and the grief of Jesus. Quintessentially, fundamentally, a part of our human experience. But thanks be to God, through the life-giving love of Jesus, so is resurrection. As we head towards Holy Week, I ask you this week to stop and to reflect on the interconnectedness of death and resurrection in your own personal experience. Reflect on the places where you will always carry some grief and suffering. And with the boldness of Martha, Invite Jesus to bring forth healing and resurrection. And as you and Jesus journey through your accumulated griefs, commit to journeying with Jesus as we live into life, as we approach the week of commemoration of his life, Jesus's life given for us, that we all might have life. Amen.